for by grace you have been saved through faith. It is not of your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one would boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. The gospel is good news. They use that word, good news. Why? Because it's by grace, through faith, in Christ. Any other way, it's not good news. It's actually bad news. You might be worse off than you were before. God has given us salvation by grace. That's why it's called gospel. That's why it's called good news. Another reason why it's good news is because it is grace, and it's also because it brings about peace. In 1950, July, there was a, or 1950, there was a war that broke out in Korea. And by July, the Americans arrived in Korea and began to push the North Koreans back. This war broke out and our men went there and fought and pushed the North Koreans back. And it didn't end in a peace treaty like so many wars do, like World War II did. It ended in a peace treaty of surrender. Korean War didn't. It just pushed pause. There was just a pause button pushed, and it just, even now it's hostile up there. The guns are still pointed towards each other, and it could erupt at any moment. There was not a peace. There was just a cessation of fire, a cessation of war, but it can erupt at any moment. And sometimes you think, well, God has, there's just been a cessation of his wrath, and that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says there is now a peace that has come between us and God because of his grace. Not just a pause in the conflict, not just a period of rest. It is that God's wrath has been satisfied. There is no more hostility. It's not just a pause, it's peace. And this resonated with the first century church. In fact, Paul, if you look at his writings, he mentions these two words in every one of his epistles. Watch, in his epistles, this is how he starts it. Those are all of his epistles, 13 of them. And every one of them, within the first three or four verses, will say, grace and peace from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and peace. Without grace, there's no peace. Peace is a product of grace. It's a byproduct that God not just removes our sin. It's more than that. It's that he gives us peace and we are safe with him. And Peter picks up on this in his epistles when he writes the same concepts in verse 4 of 1 Peter 1 and then in 2 Peter 2 or 1, 2. He says, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. All of them begin that way. We have grace and we have peace. God no longer looks at us as if we have sinned. He looks at us with righteousness that we have from Christ. Grace and peace. Why is the gospel good news? Because it's grace. Why is the gospel good news? Because grace gives us peace. We have these in Christ Jesus, but it goes even beyond that. The gospel is good news because it's grace. The gospel is good news because we have peace, but it's also about a relationship. It's just not peace. Okay, I'm no longer mad at you. I'm not going to be hostile towards you. I'm fine. Now go over there. I'm not happy. I'm happy with you. We're not mad at each other. So just you stay on your side of the house. I'll stay over here. That's not how God views us. That's not God's view of how he wants to have a relationship with us. The gospel is good news because God has invited us into his presence. He's invited us to be a part of himself. And you see this in a couple of passages in scripture. And I kind of messed up in copying this, but it says, so let us keep on coming boldly to the throne of grace. Therefore, let us confidently approach the throne of grace to receive mercy and find more grace. God has invited us into his presence. There's a relationship in Hebrews 4:16. You have the permission to walk into the presence of God, not because of something you have done to earn that right, but because it's something that Jesus did for us. And Ephesians 3:12 echoes the same sentiment. It says, in him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. Why is the gospel good news? Because God wants a relationship with you. Not one just on Sunday morning, but every single day. I was talking to somebody this last week and they said, oh, I pray a lot, 3-4 times a day. And that's great, but you know, you can be praying all day, not like this all day, because this is the idea, this is how we pray. You gotta close your eyes and fold your hands, which means you can do nothing else but pray. And that's a good thing to do, but it's also fun to be while you're driving, just talking to God. You can do that. Did you know you could do that? You can just be talking to God while you're doing something at work. You can just enter into a conversation with God. Dear Lord, this is gonna be a tough battle I'm walking into. I need your strength in this. And your eyes are open and your hands are not folded and you're not on your knees. You're just walking and talking. I'm walking into a class. Lord, I've got to take a test. I've studied. Now I need help bringing all those things I've studied to mind. And you've done it with your eyes open. I hope you can be praying most of the day. Paul says, pray without ceasing. just be in an attitude of prayer. You can continuously walk into the presence of God and approach him with freedom and with grace. Permission is right there granted to you. So we have grace. It's good news because of grace. It's good news because of peace. It's great news because of relationship. And it's even better because it's more than heavenly amenities. You get the promise of heaven when you accept Jesus as your Savior. Woohoo! We get to go to heaven, and Christians look at that. And what are the top three things you think about when you go to heaven? Streets of gates that are made of. And then you get a I've got a mansion just over the hilltop. Anyone? Okay, I grew up singing that song. We think about, wow, we get a big mansion. Woohoo! We think of the amenities. Wow, heaven's going to be great. We get all of these wonderful things, and we start wondering, do we get to sleep? And I pray that it's true. Do we get to have night? Oh, it'd be great if we can. No, all those are amenities, okay? Those are things out there, and we often take our experience here on earth, and we try to transplant it there and wonder how it's going to work, and that's fun to do. But heaven is more than amenities. It's more than not having a body that breaks. It's more than having a glorified body. Heaven is much, much more than that. In fact, if you didn't have any of those amenities, it would be glorious for one reason and one reason alone, and that is the presence of God is there, and you're with him. That's what makes heaven heaven. Because eventually, believe it or not, streets made of gold will eventually get old. You'll look at them, oh, yeah, that's gold. Yeah, who cares? It's kind of like air conditioning. It's a common thing. Oh, yeah, the air conditioning. In fact, we're alarmed when it doesn't work. The air conditioning doesn't work. Well, there was a time in our country's history when nobody had air conditioning, and it was the greatest thing ever. Now, whatever. Yeah, it's expected. It's normal. And one day in heaven, you'll look at the streets, and you'll go, oh, yeah, that's normal. Big deal. But it's not about streets of gold, pearly gates, and a mansion. Heaven is about being in the presence of God. And when you think about our scientists today, they spend all kinds of time and all kinds of energy and all kinds of money and have done for the thousands of years we've been here trying to figure out how our universe works. In fact, there was a great celebration this last week. We landed a satellite on a comet. Yeah, that's about the same impact it had on me. Yeah, woo-hoo-wee. Okay, it landed on a comet. What is that going to do now? But we put a satellite on a comet, and now we're trying to figure out where it went. You know, well, it went out there. You know, what? And we get really excited about all these scientific explorations and these wonderful things that we can do. Maybe we can get to Mars. Ooh, this is going to be great. And I really think that up in heaven, where God is, and as God looks down and he sees all this, he turns to the angelic realm and goes, they put a satellite on a comet. They think that's so neat. And God goes, yeah, whoopee, you know, great. They have no idea, the angels would say, of what heaven is all about, because heaven isn't about pearly gates, streets of gold. It's about the Creator and getting to know him and seeing him for all that he is. And it is going to take an eternity to scratch that. Paul would even say, we've only begun the introduction of who God is. Wait until we see get to know a little bit more, and maybe after eternity is over, which it's never over, we'll look back and go, oh, we know a little bit now. It's going to be an incredible experience, because heaven is not just about amenities, although they're really nice. That's just a little piece. The good news is good news because of God's grace. The good news is good news because of God's peace that we have. It's good news because we have a relationship with him. It's good news because we have the hope of heaven, that one day we will be there with him. But it's even better news because it connects us with others. You know, you need a group of people around you. Some of you need a lot of people around you, a team, maybe in white jackets, just kidding. But you need a group of people around you, because you've got to have support. You've got to have people. We all need people in our lives. We weren't made for isolation. That's not normal. We were made for community, and the gospel connects us to each other, because there's not a single person in here that connects to God outside of grace. We all connect the same way. The rich, the poor, the educated, the uneducated, the healthy, the unhealthy, we all connect the same way. And you need a group of people to help you connect. You just need it. You have to have a group. And the gospel connects us to each other. So look to your left and look to your right. Go ahead. Look over there. Look over there. There's your group. Now, some of you might want to change seats, but this is your group. This is our group. And if you're looking for a group, this is a good group. This is a group of people who loves God, loves others, and wants to serve. As illustrated yesterday by shoveling gravel into a stranger's driveway so she can get to school. As illustrated this coming week by going to Peru. As illustrated by sending Zach and money to support Zach in Africa to reach children that we'll never get to see, but he will as an extension of us. You need a group of people to do mutual ministry, to reach out to places that we can't. And then when you go to the hospital, that group gathers around you. When you have a baby, the group gathers around you. When you need something, the group gathers around you. You need a group. The gospel connects us. It's good news because we all connect to each other through the gospel. That's why it's good news. It's not a fragmented community. It's not a community that doesn't meet each other's needs. It's a community of faith that comes together around the cause and the glory of Christ Jesus. But there's something else. It's good news for all those, but it's also good news because it gives us something to share. How many of you like to share good news? If you have a Facebook page, you probably share good news faster than you share bad news. Has anybody ever taken a bad picture of themselves and then posted it? Oh, look at me. I look like an idiot. You know, no one does that. They post stuff. Okay, well, maybe one or two of you. But you put stuff up there and you look at it and go, wow, that's good news. I did this. I ran that far. I completed this task. And you put good news up there. Why? Because God's kind of wired us to share good news. Now, I understand that bad news spreads fast, but good news is fun to share. And God's wired us to share good news. Melanie and I went to dinner a couple weeks ago to Zucci's. Anyone? The best chicken fried steak in, I think, ever. Amen. Yeah. And they have something there that you could drink. Now, you're not supposed to drink it, but you could. It's called jalapeno gravy. Have you ever had jalapeno gravy? You can get that in a tub, a 32-ounce tub, and just stick a straw in it, okay? It is that good. You can dip cake in it, and it would be good. It is great. Jalapeno gravy is the greatest. And I've talked to people about jalapeno gravy. Why? Because it's good. And it's good. And when it's good, you got to go take a part of it. And when you take part of it, and then you come back and say, hey, I had jalapeno gravy, I say, wasn't it the best? And you'll say, oh, it was. Let's go get it together because it's good news. But you'll have to buy it. But it's really good. And we do that with good things. But when it comes to the gospel, for some reason we get quiet. This is the best news you could share with any human on the planet. It's better than jalapeno gravy because it meets an eternal need inside somebody's heart. And God has given us the pleasure to share it. He's given us he's given us the command to share. In the end of Matthew, he says to his disciples, go and make disciples and teach them, baptize them in the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. So all that Jesus commanded, they taught, which part of his command was to go. And then it's echoed in the next book of the church history in Acts when he says, go ye into all the world, when he says, and you will be my witnesses in Judea and Samaria to the uttermost parts of the earth, and lo, I'm with you always. He's given us the opportunity to join in the sharing. And then Paul will say later on in his writings that we are ambassadors for Christ. We get to share Christ. Speaking to the collective y'all. Not Paul didn't say y'all, but he said everybody. We get to share. We're ambassadors. And then he says to Timothy in Timothy chapter 4, be sober, stir up the gift, suffer hardship, do the work of an evangelist. What does an evangelist do? He shares good news, and previous to that section, he says, you tell other faithful men inside of your church to do everything that I've taught you to do. Share the gospel. Be a part of sharing the good news. And so we go. Why? Because he's commanded it, but not so much only that, but because it's fun to go and share good news. We have the good news of Christ Jesus, and people share it in different ways. For some of you who've been in church for a long time, you might be thinking, well, he wants me to go knock on doors early in the morning and wake people up, get them out of the lazy bed, lazy boy, and ask them 50 questions and hopefully get to Christ. Not at all. Maybe it's just go into your office tomorrow, and when somebody comes to your cubicle or your area and they say, boy, I had a rough weekend. Well, what happened? Well, my mom got sick and she's in the hospital. All you have to say at that moment, can I pray for your mom? Can I pray for your family member? Can I pray for that need? And when you start doing that, you've just opened the doors to a spiritual conversation. Most Americans, most by far, believe in prayer. All you're doing is asking, can I pray for that? And they're probably going to say, yeah, would you? And then you do. And then the next time you see them, you'll say, hey, how's your mom? How's that need? How's that happening? And now you are sharing the gospel in a unique way. And then eventually you'll get around to saying, hey, our churches have an Easter on Sunday. We also give out cool pins. And if this tells you where it is. And maybe you want to come. Or maybe it's Christmas. Or maybe it's something else and you'll invite them to come. And you'll begin a spiritual conversation with somebody. And you'll have the opportunity in your own way to tell them that that God loves them. There's a problem called sin. Jesus solved it. And all they have to do is accept it by faith. It's nothing outside of a natural conversation and relationship with somebody. you get the opportunity to share good news. And if you like talking about jalapeno gravy, then you ought to try talking about that, because that meets a real need. The gospel is good news for these reasons, because we have something to share. God has given us the grace. God has given us all that we need: grace, peace, relationship, an eternal destination, and he's given us a connection with others, and now the opportunity to share it, because we naturally like to share. God shares, so we share, because that's the mind of Christ. When you think about what Jesus did, he's the author of going. He went from heaven to here, so that we might have a relationship with God through him. And now he's asked us to do the same thing.